The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 15. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Amen.
Well, you were meant to keep reading, but that doesn't matter. Now, as we continue through Corinthians, this week, something happened, and I thought, it fits with some of the stuff going on here, but the sermon's going to be a bit different because it's not taking this passage and lifting it out. It's going a bit bigger of this passage and going, how do we apply it? You see, I saw an article the other day that said, Putin says he'll end the war with Ukraine over with one major concession. President Trump announced, this is a week ago, on Friday that he would meet with President Putin. Russian President Vladimir Putin told Trump, the administration, earlier this week he would end the war with Ukraine in the exchange for the region of the eastern Ukraine known as the Donbass. Oh, what are we going with here? Well, in the Bible it says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled himself to us and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. What would reconciliation look like in the Ukraine? That's where this passage gets to in a couple of weeks' time. But we've just been touching on the passages that say, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like a tent and folded away, they will be replaced with resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. We'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait for this move. So we're living on earth. It's less than ideal. God says there is a time coming in heaven where it will be fixed. In the meantime, I give you a ministry of reconciliation. Make it as good as you can. In the light of heaven. What do we do with these things? Well, I want to talk about a hypothetical to start with, to set the scene, and then from that, ask some questions about how we deal with life. I want you to imagine the Ukraine. There it is. The stripy bits are the bits that Russia's holding at the moment. That greeny area is what's called the Donbass. That's the bit that Putin said, if you give me that, we'll stop the war. All right, I want you to imagine Yuri. Yuri is a Ukrainian farmer, but he's not alone. Yuri has a wife, two kids, and his older parents, they all live on the farm, and I didn't take a picture of his brother, well, because he doesn't exist. Well, none of these people exist for real, but I want you to imagine this person. Does it sound realistic that there could be a farmer living in the Donbass area, on his farm? His parents are still alive there. He's got a brother. They got wife and two kids, and they're farming. Farm's over there. Imagine there's been a peace treaty signed. Because what happened before this, when they heard this, I want you to imagine they realized Russia was coming. Yuri and his family bolted, went east. His wife kept going with the kids to Poland. Yuri and his brother signed up for the army. But mum and dad said, look, we're old, we can't fight. We'll stay and look after the farm. So they're on the farm doing what they can to keep it from being totally wrecked. Yuri and his brother are fighting. Sisters, his wife and kids are over in Poland. Imagine a peace treaty is signed. Yuri's farm is now part of Russia. It's no longer part of the Ukraine. But he's offered Russian citizenship and a pardon for fighting against Russia. All Ukrainians are given a safe passage to Ukraine. So he can choose. I can go and be a Russian citizen or I can stay in the Ukraine and my parents can move over with me. His wife and kids have come back to the Ukraine. Yuri, Katya and the children, the parents of Yuri are all reunited in a farm, in a town in eastern Ukraine. He has a rental house and a job as a tractor mechanic. Imagine that's where it is 3 months after the peace treaty is signed. What's he do? See, this is an unjust, unfair situation. He's lost his farm. By the way, in our imagining hypothetical story, his brother was also killed during the war. It's not his fault. He didn't start this war. Nothing he could have done changed it. The reality is, Ukraine hasn't got the military power to take back all that Russia took. The reality is, the US and Europe are not going to send soldiers and pay the price to take it back. The reality is, if this happened, Putin has won some territory. Russia is now bigger and Ukraine has lost territory. The reality is, Russia has paid a price. There's something like, I think it's somewhere in the order of 800,000 Russians have died in this war so far. The other reality is the eastern Ukraine, the percentage of ethnic Russians that live there is quite high. When was that border drawn? And who decided it? That's another question. I want you also to imagine that when his parents left, they went, we can't take the farm with us. Someone else has got it. What are his choices? This is a hypothetical. I'm glad I'm not in this situation. I'm glad I don't have to choose this, and I'm unlikely to. He could become a criminal terrorist resistance fighter. That's a possibility. He could go, no, I'm going back to that part, and I'm going to continue the fight as a guerrilla warfare. It's an option. He could become a bitter, twisted alcoholic. Here I was happily farming away and it all take rah-rah and he just lives in that bitterness. He could become a legal and or internet warrior for compensation and just continue the fight by all legal means possible. Or he could let it go, build a new life with his family and help his children make a new life. Now, there's variations on these, but as I thought about it, I thought, these are some of the choices that imagine Yuri has. Of course we want to stop injustice. That's what reconciliation would be. To fight against injustice, we got to ask, when and who to fight? While the war is still going, there are many who have signed up for the Ukrainian army and they're fighting against Russia. As tragic as that is, that seems like the appropriate thing to do. Then the question is how to fight. Militarily, that's going on at the moment. I'm sure there's still fights going on. There's fights going on in the courts, in the UN, in places where there's sanctions being put against Russia. There's all sorts of that sort of battle going on as well. But how do you fight? Do you shoot at all the civilians? Do you? All sorts of things. Then the question is when to walk away and move on. Once the peace deal is signed, does someone like Yuri go, I don't like that peace deal, and continue to fight? Or does he go, well, it's done is done. He could have become a Russian citizen. That's not a great option either. And kept his farm. These options are there. But they're yucky. That's what I was sitting on this week as I started thinking about reconciliation. Our future in heaven. What to do now when there is an injustice? Well, when there's an injustice, when and who to fight? Sometimes the fighting is real. You know what? Anyone know the stories of David? Did he get into real fights and kill people? And God says of David, he's a man after my own heart. All throughout the Old Testament, there's lots of times where there were battles and fights. So it's not necessarily always wrong to fight physically. Angels take lives. There's stories in the Old Testament where the angel of death or this angel came and you know what? Angels only ever do it when God says, go do that. So there's times when God fights. There's times of miraculous interventions. You read the Old Testament, but you start reading some of the modern stories too. I was listening to one the other day. George Washington was in a battle as a young man. There were 200 officers in that fight. 20 of them survived, and 19 of the 20 that survived had injuries. George Washington was the only man to come out, only officer to come out of that battle uninjured. Despite the fact that he had two horses shot from under him, five holes in his coat, and one in his hat. Because God was doing something with him later. There was miracles. Many Christians serve in the army or in the police force. And as if you're in the army and the police force, there is sometimes the aspect of deadly force. Some evil will not stop. The only way to stop some things is by deadly force. What about Martin Luther King Jr.? He fought against an injustice, but he didn't pick up guns to do it. And then when we come to when and who to fight, there's the statement in the Bible, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So sometimes the injustices that happen aren't driven by that person. It's other things going on around it that need to be dealt with. So, when we're asking the question of when and who to fight, is it an aggression or defense? If the fight is to force others to your way, or is it to resist others forcing you to their way? I think that's a crucial context in deciding whether to fight. God, I believe, leads most of the times in Israel's history was to stop others forcing them what to do. God never told people to take soldiers, take weapons and force them to follow him. Another question, is winning possible? I started thinking about this. A peace treaty. Is it unjust if Putin gets the Donbass? Yes. But what's the options? Continue the war? Is it possible to get enough soldiers there and equipment to push him out of there? May not be. What's winning? if you got all your territory back, but you've had 200,000 soldiers killed, is that better than having 100,000 soldiers killed and losing some of your territory? I can't answer these questions in the hypothetical. These are part of the questions that raise when we're dealing with injustice. What's the cost? What's the cost of winning? Who's paying that cost? Putin's happy to continue this war because there's a cost in lives, but it's not his. He's not on the front line. Has the situation changed? Why I put that in there was, while there's a war going on between Ukraine and Russia, Yuri serving in the army and fighting against Russia is very different to if a peace treaty's been signed and he continues to fight against Russia. What is your enemy like? Some enemies, the only way to fight to stop the injustice is to fight. That's horrible. I put that there and I thought, when Martin Luther King led the fight against injustice, he was fighting against a country that proclaimed in its founding documents and that most people thought everyone should have a freedom and a right. They just didn't see black people as people. And when they started to see that, they went, oh, this is really dumb. They should have rights. They were talking to people who weren't totally obsessed with killing someone. Hitler, when they were fighting against Hitler, was obsessed. He had to be stopped militarily. When to fight? God's special intervention. Is God going to intervene then? But what is his intervention? What is his wisdom to you? As you're praying for something, what is God saying about whether to fight or to step back? Then the question comes, how to fight? God did use destruction. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. There's times for that. Jesus died on the cross where his sacrifice paid a price for injustice. God uses the supernatural to win wars sometimes. So we can be praying for what he wants to do in that. Prayer and sacrifice are weapons, just as a gun is. Which ones to use when? Targeting the innocent is wrong. That's not a way to fight that God can endorse. That's not a good way to stand against injustice, because then you're just creating more injustice. Collateral damage is unavoidable. That's horrible. But it's a reality. The other side has a choice. In a fight with someone, you may be winning, but if they keep just fighting and fighting, you sometimes have to just keep fighting until they can no longer fight, until they're actually knocked out cold. That's in a fist fight. Sometimes an enemy just keeps doing the wrong thing. If Zelensky's suing for peace and Russia says, nope, we're going to keep going, you can't. You have to keep the fight going. How to fight? The concept of minimal necessary force to stop it. How to fight? Sometimes a fight can be done in the courts, not with weapons or with negotiation. That's a better way. Non-violent protest or resistance is sometimes a way that battles can be won. How a fight can happen. That's preferable to a battle. When to walk away and move on. some things cannot be fixed on this earth. Yuri can't get his brother back. Yuri can't have his farm back and stay a Ukrainian. But in heaven, if he's following God, he can have a hope. Forgiveness is godly. How many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. That's when an injustice happens. Sometimes God says, yep, let it go. Vengeance is mine. Hell is a reality. Just as heaven's a reality for those who put their faith in Christ. For those who just keep going the wrong way, they will get their just deserts. So you can walk away and trust God with that. Jeremiah 29, 5 and 7. Anyone remember what Jeremiah 29, 11 is? I know the plans I have for you, plans for your good. But before that, he's writing. Jeremiah's writing to the people in Babylon, in captivity, and he says, God said, go build houses, get married. Be a success story. Pray for the success and work for the success of Babylon. Let go of the past. You're there now. Move there. This is not our eternal home. So sometimes when an injustice happens down here, Yuri can go, look, I've lost my farm, but I have a hope in the future. I'll move on here. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. There's no way to get it back. If you just keep going trying to fix an injustice by getting revenge, it won't work. Some things are unjust, but maybe continuing the fight will just cause more harm. Sometimes it's the time to seek a different good. Yuri might have to go, I wanted to be a farmer and I had a good farm, but I've lost it. Well, I will go and do something different. Ask God for his good, his provision, his guidance. See, the difference between us and between Christians and the rest of the world when it comes to injustice is we got to ask these questions just as everybody does. Do I fight? How to fight? And when to walk away. But as Christians, we can go, we can ask God that. And he can show us a way through, bring providence, good and just and goodness. But that made me think of something else. Not only is there the injustice sometimes, where you're the one that suffered injustice, what about the beneficiaries of the injustice? I want you to imagine Vladimir. He's a Russian. Now I put it this way. He was a neighbor to Yuri. They got on well. When the war happened, he was disappointed. But you know, when Yuri's father left, he went to Vladimir and said, look, do you want our farm? Of course I want your farm. Can you buy it? Mate, I am dead broke. What do you got? $1,000? All right, I'll take it. Signs over the deeds. Vladimir gets Yuri's farm for $1,000. Rubles, whatever they are. He's benefited majorly from an injustice. What does he do with that? I started thinking about this and went, you know what? Unjust things happen to Aboriginal people in our society. We live right next to Cherbourg. Some of the people that were, maybe not anyone alive now, but parents of some of the people now, were just dragged there from somewhere else. I didn't do that. My father didn't do that, and my grandfather didn't do that. But my grandfather, on my dad's side, was in England, so he didn't do it. But my grandmothers grew up on a farm in Victoria. I don't know for certain that my grandmother's farm wasn't taken in an unjust way by my great-grandfather, by her grandfather. What do I do with that? What should Vladimir's kids do 20 years' time, when someone comes and says, you got that farm in a lucky way, well, what else do they do? Well, the thing to remember is we're all the beneficiaries of God's grace. God says we're blessed to be a blessing. So if for some reason we're in a fortunate place and we're not the one who actually did the injustice, but we've benefited from it, I'd encourage us to ask God, well, how do I pass on that blessing where I can? Have gratitude for it, not an entitlement about it. Don't be unjust yourself. Look to be honest and fair in that with whatever you've got. Do good where you can. Don't take on false guilt. Seek God. So I thought about that. What did that mean? Now, you could write books and all this sort of stuff, but we can't deal with all of that in one go. But I went, if my grandmother's great-grandfather had shot Aboriginal people to take that farm, that's horrible. I do not endorse it. My grandmother doesn't know that happened, or if it did, even if she did. What does she do about it? Generations down the track, I can't just go and take that farm off my dad's cousins and give it back to the Aboriginal people down there. And I can't carry guilt for that. I just got to leave that in God's hands. I can only carry guilt for what I do. But we're not in the Ukraine. None of us are Yuri. But the question is, have we had an injustice happen to us? Anyone here sit and think, well, that wasn't fair. Something that happened to them. Have we been clobbered by a natural disaster of no reason of our own, but it's hammered us? Have we been hit with an accident or a disease? Did Esther do anything wrong to end up with a thing? Not that I know of. We all know someone who's sick or got a health issue that isn't lung cancer because they were smoking. There's just something. Was it their fault? No. It's really a thing when you go, was the situation we're born into optimal? You might look and go, oh, he was born in that family and he got that, or she got that. Yeah, but you were born here and not Gaza. Do you have a person in your life who's very difficult to deal with? Whenever you deal with them, they don't show sense. And so you can't, it's just unjust what happens when you deal with them. These are the questions we face. And I believe those questions that Yuri would have to face, is when do I fight, how do I fight, and when do I walk away, are very real for us in whatever injustices we face. So my thought this morning was to encourage us to pray. We probably got more of those, Anyone who want to admit to at least having two of those real in their life? Yeah. My hope this morning is, my prayer this morning is, that maybe in the next little while, you take some time to go, well, this is the injustice or the difficulty that's hitting me the hardest and at the most at the moment. So my question is, God, do I fight or not? And if I'm fighting, who do I fight against? For Yuri, shooting his Russian neighbor because the Russian invaded wouldn't have been right. His fight is against Putin. I suspect there's plenty of Russians who are going, yeah, go for it. There's plenty of Russians ethnically who live in the Ukraine who think this is a great thing. But I'm sure there's plenty of Russians who are going, oh, I'd be betting too there's Russian soldiers serving there going, what am I doing this for? How to fight. If the situation facing me is an injustice and I've asked God, I'm meant to fight against it, how do I fight it? Or do I walk away and move on? If I've been ripped off by someone, do I take it to court? Or just go, nope, that's it, done and dusted. Walk away. I have a friend who was going through a divorce and they were doing the settlement and that came down to there was 40,000 difference in which way it was going to go. And the lawyer said to him, we can win this, you know. And my friend said to him, how much will that cost me? He said, oh, probably about 30,000 in legal fees. And my mate went, so I can pay you 30,000 to maybe win $10,000 at the loss of $40,000 to my wife, ex-wife and children, or I can just sign off on this now and she gets $40,000 more, which she, and she's the one doing most of looking after my children. And the lawyer goes, yeah, and he says, sign the deal. And the lawyer looked at him and went, that was smart. When to walk away. I don't know what situations each of you are facing. It may be something really big, life and death. Maybe something small. It may be something that happened last week, or it may be something that's been ongoing for 30 years. I don't know. I can't tell you the answers. But I tell you what, God does know, and he's got a way forward. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That what God was reconciling to the world himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If we're right with God, if we know heaven's our home, then we can ask these questions with a slightly different thing. We can deal with whatever injustices are in our life by God's guidance, and we can point to others to go, there is a way through this, rather than just continuing to fight badly. With God's help, we can get past our hurts and be an example. Now, when I preach this, I've struggled to preach this on the grounds that I'm an Australian who's relatively healthy, who hasn't had anything. I think I'm living in a home. I've got a job. I've got a vehicle. I've got a happy family. My life's good. I'm blessed. I don't know what it's like to be Yuri. How do I preach this? What have I got to say to someone who's dealing with something really tough? I've got to say that God's got an answer for them. And I want to encourage people to ask that question. Because of God's work, we have a hope here and in eternity. With God's help, we can offer a different perspective to what the world has to offer. It doesn't have to be solved totally here. For Yuri, if he signs off and goes away and goes, it's still terrible what Putin did. Yeah, it was. Putin is not going to get away with it. One day, Vladimir Putin will die. And he will stand before God in heaven. And then he will have to deal with whatever his things. If he's made a commitment to Christ and asked for forgiveness, the Jesus from the cross says, I took that pain. But if he hasn't, it will be dealt with. With God's help, we can encourage people past whatever hurts they're dealing with. So this morning I wanted to finish with this thought. If there's a particular injustice that's weighing on you heavily today, I want to just leave the option open for you to come down the front, sit in the front seat, and I'll come and sit with you and pray that God help you come to the next step of knowing whether to fight or walk away. And if you are to fight, who to fight with and how to do it. Because if one of those injustices is sitting on you, I'm not going to try and tell you the answer because I don't know. But my heart's desire this morning is to help you lift your eyes to God and say, because I believe absolutely that if you ask that question and we come down and you pray here, God will some way show you another step forward so that you can be in a better place. That is my hope. That is my prayer. That's what I would want for each person. So, thank you. Lord, whether people are ready to come and talk about it just now or not is immaterial. But Lord, for each of us here who are struggling with something, may you guide us to when and how to fight, with who, and when to walk away and trust it to you. So we commit the issues we're facing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.